Hi, I'm Josh.
And I'm Lindsay.
And this is the Hideaway Podcast, episode 11.
Undici. That's Italian. I'm reading RuPaul's Working It book.
How is it?
You know, I do wish he talked more about his life, because it's a lot of like glossiness, but his philosophy.
What does he talk about?
He talks about like his philosophy of thinking basically in life and how to be a drag queen, which I clearly really want to learn. But I think he's like has such positive energy and I do like his book. But then I finished it because it's pretty short. So now I'm reading Sex Object by Jessica Valenti, which is a feminist book.
Yeah, if you listen to Ezra Klein's show, I think it's called the Ezra Klein Show. Yeah. He had Jessica on last week. What do you think so far?
I like it. I mean, I'm struggling with this like modern feminism too, like what it means. And I really consider myself a feminist, and you know, trying to just have gender equality. So I'm excited to read the book. I'm only in the intro and she's basically reading it. I mean, she says she's writing it for her daughter. And so I like the intro, but that's all I've read.
Well, while you're reading Jessica Valenti, last night before I went to sleep, I read this month's cover article, which is a interview expose about Kim Kardashian.
Another woman that I like.
I love the Kardashians. I'm going to throw it there. I love Kanye West and I love the Kardashians. But the article is really interesting because it sort of talks about how now that she is a mom and married, posting like nude selfies and having the sort of sexual edge she has to herself naturally is all of a sudden like okay because she's a mom and because she's married. Right. There's something that's perceived as
socially acceptable
about it, and that somehow she's striking this new balance. All right, let's get on to today's episode.
Uwe
Janssen.
Uwe is not only incredibly talented and beautiful, but she's also an amazing person, and she is a swinging trapeze artist. And we talk a little bit about in the podcast the differences between swinging trapeze, static, and flying trapeze. The way I used to think about it, she kind of Nixus. But basically she does her act. It's just her and she's on the swinging trapeze, and it's a beautiful act that we were working with her on one of our shows.
And not only is it beautiful, it's been seen all over the world. She's been in three different Cirque du Soleil shows. She won gold at the big circus festival in Paris a couple of years ago. She's then judged that festival. And she's recently been injured, which actually I think made for a very interesting conversation about what it's like to be a circus performer and the risks you take having that job.
But and also like how it changes your mentality as a performer once you've been injured.
I think anybody who's an aspiring circus artist or wants just to know more about what it's like to work for Cirque du Soleil, be a performer, this is a really interesting conversation.
Enjoy our interview with Uwe. I really did.
But before you do, if you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with your friends and rate us on iTunes. Those are the number one and two ways to support us. We grow our audience by word of mouth, by you guys sharing it on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and Periscope and Yik Yak and all the things.
What the heck is Yik Yak?
I think, I don't know what Yik Yak, I know it exists. And Snapchat, of
course. Periscope? Did you say that?
Periscope.
I want to try Periscope.
It's pretty cool. And if you are enjoying the show, please go on iTunes, leave us a rating, leave us some feedback. Not only does that help us know if you're enjoying the show and what you like about the show, it also pushes us up the iTunes chart and grows our audience. So we really appreciate it when you do that.
Thanks, peeps. When I just said that, though, I just thought of peeps like those sugar peeps.
They're just loads of little peeps wearing headphones listening to our podcast.
Oh, my God. That's a really cute image. Anyway, here's Uwe. Little peeps. What I didn't know is that Josh was inspired by your brother to learn straps. Did you know that?
Oh yeah.
That was so funny. Like, I heard a lot of people saying that just about my brother, like that he was the inspiration to start, which is, I guess, a very nice honor, you know.
And then after we were talking to you about you know, being in Firefly Field, I was like, I really need to try trapeze or something. And of course, Josh was like, let's do a flying trapeze class. And I was like, okay, cool. And it was so hard.
It is. You know what? Like, I've been, we're probably going to talk about it, but like, since I've been injured and stuff, coming back to it, you kind of put a different perspective to it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's like, it's so hard. And I did it so easily when I was in good shape, but now it's like, oh my God. Where did everything go?
Yeah, you just, you make it, when you watch, like, you do it, it's like, wow, that looks so, I mean, hard, but, and then you hold that bar and you're like, this bar is heavy, and now my hands are all cut up, and, like, I can't move my body to, like, make it swing. It's, like, really hard.
I know, and once you, like, start to have pain, it's just so bad, you know?
Never had. I know, Josh bought me, like, an iced coffee after our class, just so I could hold my hands around it.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah, I have had some times when my hands have been so bad, like blisters and like splashed blood blisters all over my hands and fingers. You just suck it up and you go to training and yeah, you don't think about it for an hour, but after class you can't wash your face, you can't wash your hands, and they're filled with rosin. And it's so bad for you. I'm like, this is so bad. Like,
did you always want to do swinging trapeze as your discipline?
Yeah, not always. Because my swinging trapeze story, it's like I started doing some circus, right?
And your mom and dad were in circus, right?
Yeah, my father was he was like this multi-artist. He did absolutely everything within the art. So he had, during the winter from like December to April, he had a children's circus where he was the circus director. And there is where I grew up doing circus every winter. And my mom, she worked more in, like, the culture department. So she was actually the person who helped the Swedish company Sikosikar to get established in our little suburb where I come from.
That's so cool.
So, like, it was pretty natural for me to get into the circus. I don't think, like, when I was in the kids' circus as a child, it was not like I thought I was going to be a circus artist when I grew up. But when my mom helped Sikosikai to open the circus school, it was the perfect age for me to apply for the school. And I did, and I just fell in love with the circus. And there, like, since I didn't have, like, a gymnastic background, I found it more easier for me to go into the aerials and instead of doing handstand and all that. And I fell in love with the trapeze right away. It was like me and the trapeze. I loved it. And the swinging trapeze came a little later when I actually saw a girl, a friend of mine. They had a little show out in the city of Stockholm, and she was swinging, and I was so amazed by the swinging trapeze. Like, I saw so much strength, and it was so cool to me. Like, it was something so special. I had never really seen it before, I guess. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm gonna do.
Uwe, for people who, when they think trapeze, just think of the two ropes and the bar, can you explain mm-hmm. the difference between swinging trapeze and other kinds of trapeze?
Well, it's true, because when I say I'm a trapeze artist and I do swinging trapeze, people think that I'm doing a flying trapeze act and that I'm being thrown around over a net, and, you know, and I mean, it makes sense that people believe that. But so my trapeze, it's first of all a very heavy 4 meter long rope trapeze, and yeah, like, I'm doing more twisting, and I'm by myself the whole time in my act, right? So I'm never working with someone else in the trapeze. And yeah, so, and I don't have a net. That a lot of people think, but I do have a launch belt.
I guess that's, well, that when, you know, when I was learning all the circus terms, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago, the best way for me to remember flying versus swinging was two people versus just like, or a few people versus just a solo act.
Exactly. And then they have dual swinging trapeze. So there's two swinging, but yeah, it's so different from a flying trapeze.
Now my whole way of thinking about it is ruined.
Because flying trapeze is more, you know, you're not doing trapeze in the flying trapeze, actually. You're more using the apparatus to catch and to throw someone around. It's funny that it is a flying trapeze. It's like the oldest thing ever. But swinging trapeze, it's really what it is, a swinging trapeze.
Yeah, I think I know we're getting a little bit off topic and just talking about the discipline, but as disciplines go, I think swinging trapeze is at least one of my favorite because it has the most momentum to it. Like with a regular flying trapeze act, there's so much starting and stopping, while with swinging trapeze, you can really build a whole number slowly.
Yeah, and I feel like a swinging trapeze too is very like, how do you call it, like hypnotic, like it's like watching a tennis game, you know, you go like, it's like a boom boom, and yeah, I feel like that's what people get really love it, you know.
Yeah, I think it's a beautiful, and I don't necessarily see it a lot because, you know, you need the space to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was that tough for you when you graduated circus school finding places? I mean, I know you didn't have too much trouble finding work, but I can't imagine that there are as many shows that offer space for a swinging trapeze artist.
You know what? Like, I have been so fortunate and so lucky with my timing of my career. Swinging trapeze is a very difficult discipline to work with, like you say, because you need so much. You need the space. You need the launcher. You need a safe rigging. Like, it's a lot of things that need to be perfect for to be able to perform your act. And when I finished circus school in Montreal, like, my goal was really to work for Cirque du Soleil, because I knew that if I work for them, I will have all that. I will have a rig. I will have a stage. I will have the height, like, in the ceiling and rigger and a launcher. Like, I can only focus on my act. So for me, that was my goal. And actually, when I graduated, I got offered a contract with Cirque du Soleil the day after I graduated. I started working for them, but it wasn't with trapeze. It was with the duo silk with my brother in Dralion. And, you know, it was quite difficult for me to, I've been studying trapeze in Montreal for 3 years, and I was on the top of my game, and I had to give it up to do silk. But for me, it was, okay, this is a step into the company. It opens my doors, and, you know, it's just the beginning. So I accepted the contract, and I was lucky to work with my brother, too. And, and then it just, I was a part of Cirque du Soleil, and it was easier for me to go to different shows. So I was already in the company. And then I got to do Alegria and Iris here in LA, and yeah, it was easier for me. The timing was right, and now all the shows that have swing trapeze is pretty much closed down, and so there's not so many trapeze acts left in Cirque du Soleil, unfortunately. And the smaller companies, it's hard for them to put swing trapeze into their shows because they won't have the theaters to go to or the big tops, so... It is a little challenging, but I was lucky to be able to work for two different shows with my act, at least.
Can you talk a little bit about how you learn swinging trapeze? I think many people, particularly if they're not in the circus, probably can't even imagine how you learn those tricks.
Well, first, especially since I was really weak. I didn't have any muscles. I didn't have any... like flexibility. I was really not that good when I started circus, but I was so incredibly passionate about it. I did not give up. I had one goal, and that was to be the best. And that was the only thing I cared about. So when I learned swing trapeze, first of all, I had to, for a whole year in the Swedish circus school, I went up to the director of the school to ask him if I could start training swing trapeze with the Russian coach. And he said, no, it's not for you, it's for the professional circus program. I was just in the high school program. And I was like, I really want to do this. One year I went up every day and asked, can I train, can I train, can I train? Finally, he gave me 20 minutes with a Russian coach at the circus school. And it was me and this Russian coach, his name was Sergei. We became like one. He took me under his wing and he just worked out with me every day from morning to evening. Because he saw I was so passionate about it. And I think that's why I learned so fast in swing trapeze, because it's quite tricky. So for me, learning swing trapeze was all about my willing to learn and my passions for it. So,
did you ever have a fear of heights?
You know, I remember so well the first time I went up to the swing trapeze and started swinging. I was thinking in my head, why did I choose to do this? Like, this is terrifying and I hate it and it's so scary and I just want to go down. But then I've been asking for a whole year to practice swinging trapeze. So I couldn't say that this wasn't for me after all. So I was like, okay, I just have to stick with it. And I have to like convince myself that this is not scary. And after a while, I got used to the height. I got used to the swing and like it was like this love-hate relationship because I loved it so much, but it was so scary. And to, you know, just to swing and then to start doing tricks, you don't know where you're going to end up when you're first learning. So, yeah, so now I'm not scared of it anymore. And now I love it. I love the feeling of swinging. It's such a freedom. But the beginning, it was quite scary.
You're also our first guest on the show to have gone through a professional circus school. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about what that's like going to university, essentially, to learn a circus skill.
To me, it was the same there. So I went to like the circus kind of high school in Sweden. So you do all your subjects and all that, and then you have a few hours of circus every week. And there's where I decided, okay, I'm going to be a circus artist. And then I went to 1 year professional circus school in Sweden too. And it was like preparing to become a circus artist. So you do circus all day. And then I knew, okay, if I'm going to be the best, I need to go to Montreal because the best coach is in Montreal. I need to work with Victor Fomin, who is the most famous trapeze coach in the world, I would say. And I got accepted to Montreal together with my brother, who also applied. And
did you guys go the same year?
Yeah, we went the same year. My brother, actually, he saw me train. And he saw how passionate I was about circus. So he was like, I need to do this too. So he went to a circus school in Denmark to start his basic circus training and choose to work with straps. And and we applied together to Montreal and we got in. And to be honest, it's really one of the best things that happened in my life. It is a very strict circus school. Like, you work so hard there, and it's what you make it, but it's kind of like a pressure. You have to be very good to be there, and when you graduate, you're gonna have an act when you graduate, and you have all this jury that judge you when you're graduating and all this. But to me, it was amazing. Like, I loved it so much, and it was really a perfect school if you want to become a circus artist. And yeah, I think they prepare you so much that you're so ready when you're graduating.
What did your parents think when you and your brother were both like, we want to go to circus school?
Oh, we have always had so much support. I don't think we could have done anything without them. Like, especially since my father, he was also an artist. He wanted us to go out and see the world. He wanted us to live our dreams. Like, we have never been stopped from doing anything within the circus.
That's so amazing.
Yes, we've been pretty lucky, and, you know, already in Sweden to be dropped off and picked up in the car, you know, go from training to training and coming home late, the dinner is made, you know, we've been very, very lucky and fortunate. We never had that, like, do you really want to do circus? Never, ever.
Were you and your brother only in one show together, or did you do a few?
We did only one show together, Drallion. Then we actually split up, and he went to Veracai, and I went to Alegria.
And Alegria is where you first did swinging trapeze with Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, first time I did swinging in Cirque du Soleil.
And is Alegria, is that act two people in sync? Is that how that number goes, or is it a solo number?
It's two people in sync, and once a week you do your solo just to, as a backup. But for me, Alegria, it was my absolutely dream contract to ever be a part of. You know, you see Alegria on the DVD when you started Circus, and it was like the best show you ever seen. And then just to be a part of the show, it was a dream come true right there, for sure.
Can you walk us through a day in the life of somebody on Alegria?
An artist on Alegria?
Yeah.
Or me as an artist?
You as an artist.
Yeah, it's... first of all, it's life on tour. And I did an arena tour with Alegria. And, you know, you travel every week. It's quite a lot of work because you're constantly working. Like, you have 8 to 10 shows a week, you travel on Sunday night, you come to a new city, you have a couple of days off, and then you start rehearsal, and then you do a whole week of shows. But a regular day, it's pretty much on the first day of the week, back to work, you have 20-minute training, and that's it. Like, you don't get a lot of training when you work for Cirque du Soleil. You can train backstage all you want, but like for me as a swing trapeze artist, I need to be on stage. I need my training on the stage. And yeah, you get between 20 to 40 minutes a week. So it's not a lot. It's hard to maintain your act because you just do your act. You don't really train your act. And other than that, like it's... you come in quite early to the arena and you put on your makeup that takes about 45 minutes and warm up and going to physio and having a little snack and doing the shows. The day goes by pretty fast, actually, when you're on tour. But it's amazing. I was lucky to do both Big Top and Arena. And the Big Top is a little more family like kind of show, to be honest. I prefer the Big Top, and you're staying longer in every city, you don't travel so much. To me, I prefer that for sure. It's a little more intimate too when you're performing, because you see the audience and you can see their reactions, where in the arena it's so big you see nothing. It's just like a hole, and you do your act and you don't see anyone.
When I visited the Cirque du Soleil backlot for their Big Top tent, they have this cafeteria that's pretty large, serves really healthy food and I think a little bit of unhealthy food. But I'm wondering if you could talk about sort of what the diet is like for a circus performer and how you sort of maintain that body.
Well, I think, to be honest, I think that we have a pretty healthy, like a natural way to look at food. Like it's always healthy. It's not, I mean, we know what's good for our bodies. We know what we need in terms of protein and vegetables and all this, just to keep up our energy to be on stage. And I think it's, you just have to have a have a healthy look at it. And, you know, the cafeterias at Cirque du Soleil, I must say, it's quite, they can be quite bad sometimes because they always have a dessert and they always have freshly baked croissants on Sunday mornings. And, you know, so it's really, sometimes it's better to stay out of the cafeteria.
I'd be like, give me that croissant.
I know, every Sunday morning brunch.
With and, Nutella. You
know, Nutella, and there's, it was funny when Drallian, it's mainly Asian cast, and when they first came on tour, you know, they had never seen all this Nutella and stuff that they don't have in China. So they overate a little bit of the Nutella.
Then they have to go perform.
But no, it's very good because you have always a choice of fish and meat and vegetarian. And I mean, it's pretty luxury. I don't think a lot of circus companies offer that great of a kitchen and food. And so it's very, very nice. I think what happens when you first join a tour and you've never been on a tour before, it's a little overwhelming because there's so much good stuff everywhere and they have like so many snacks and every time in intermission they have like freshly baked cookies in the in the kitchen, and you know, so people go and snack all the time. You have to be careful. It's easy to overeat and over snack.
And you recently suffered an injury, right?
I actually had two injuries, so, which honestly, I must say, it's a part of being a circus artist. I mean, I always compare myself to big athletes that always, they sometimes have to miss a whole season because they had an injury, and it's the same for us. And from what we do, I think it's quite expected that we sometimes do get injured, but I had a shoulder surgery. I had some kind of slap tear or labrum. I'm not, to be honest, sure, but I had a surgery on it. And it's a quite common shoulder injury. I think in Alegria we were 5 people with the same injury when we finished the tour.
Wow. Is it so, a common injury for aerialists?
I think so. Aerialists and high bar and, you know, all this, you know, where it's a lot of shoulders and upper body that it takes a lot of damage show after show after show.
Did it make you sort of rethink being an artist at all? Did you ever doubt it after your first injury?
Not after the first. After the first injury, I was like, okay, I need to get good as soon as possible so I can go back to work. So it was kind of like a motivation to go back. It made me work very hard. I did rehab every day, and I was extremely motivated to come back. Then I met the director of La Soirée, if you know. La Soirée is an Australian.
Yeah, is that company. Brett Haylock?
Yeah, with Brett Haylock. And I met him in Stockholm because they performed in Stockholm. And he said, I want you in my show. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. So I started working on my static trapeze act because it was going to be in a smaller venue. And I got released from the doctor with my shoulder. And I was extremely excited. Same day I got released with my shoulder, I went to rehearse my act. And I tore my ACL ligament.
That was the same day?
Same day.
Oh my God.
I came out from the doctor's office. I went to the circus school to train, and pang, my knee blew up. And I was like, this is seriously not meant to be. Like, why is this happening? At the time, I didn't know that I hurt myself because I was going to Australia to perform. So I went to Australia anyway and kind of ignored my injury. But as we started creation in Australia, I couldn't do nothing. I was in so much pain. So I had to do an MRI, and it turned out that the ACL was gone. So it was just to go back home and do a new surgery. And so I had 2 big surgeries in the same year. And yeah, and the second one was very hard because they were back to back, you know. So, and I realized that the knee are extremely complex. Like, it's a hard thing to recover from, though I do my best. and I am much better. I am stronger, but it's always in the back of my head, like, am I gonna get hurt again, you know?
Yeah, so. I would think that the mentality is injured even more than the body is, because now there's a fear of being injured, which maybe you don't have before.
Exactly, and that's a very good point, because I never thought of injuries when I was performing or training. You know, you're blocking that, especially when you want to learn something. You don't have time to think about that. But when it happens to you, it's really in your head, like, oh no, I don't want to go through this again. So, and once you have the fear when you're training, it's stopping you from doing your best. You can't train with a fear in the back of your mind. It's like you're always going to be a little hesitating, and it's not going to work. So you have to kind of just, you know, forget about it and continue to work. But yeah, it's definitely mentally harder than physically harder, I would say.
So I want to jump back a little bit in your career and talk about the Festival Mondial du Cirque de Demain, which, mm-hmm. for those who don't know, happens every year in Paris and is a very big, famous circus festival. Can you tell us sort of your experience with it?
So my goal when I came to Montreal and when I started to work with Victor was, okay, I need to do a festival. I have to. So that was my other goal. And I got invited a couple of times before I actually participated. And then in 2011, I got invited to come to the festival. And it was the most amazing, incredible thing I've done in my whole life, but also the most scariest and, I don't know, awful thing I've done. I don't think I've ever been that, you know, weird in my head before until I did the festival.
Why? Because you were being judged? Is that why?
It's so important. It's like the Olympics of the circus. And to me, it's like, at first I was like, okay, I'm invited. That is a, that is good enough.
Nominated. At least I was nominated.
And and no matter how it goes, I'm fine because I got nominated and I got invited to come there. It's gold enough for me. And then as you train for it and as you're preparing, you put your whole life and soul into the training and preparations before you go to a festival. Or at least I did. To me, it was like I didn't sleep for 2 months. Like I worked every day. And on top of that, I also had the creation of Iris in that was going to open in Los Angeles. So I had a creation all day. I worked on my act in the evenings. It was nonstop. And my act got ready. I was good to go. I felt very prepared. And once I came to Paris, I was like, no, it's not enough to just perform. I need to win this. Like, I need to... I'm not going to be happy if I don't get a medal. Like, it was not enough to me to just be there. And yeah, it turned out pretty good. And honestly, I was so nervous, like so nervous. I didn't know what to do with myself. But once it was my time to perform and I started my act, I never felt more calm in my whole life. It's the first time I performed and I felt so in peace with myself and I knew exactly what I was doing. So it was weird because thinking back at it now, I don't know if I could do it again. I was just so lucky with my head when I was performing in the festival that it was the best feeling ever.
So for those who didn't catch it, because Uwe is being very kind about herself, she won gold, which is the highest honor that you can win at this competition. And I have to say, that's, I think, when I first saw your circus act, or at least the video of it, which I'm going to put in the show notes for people if they want to watch your number, but is just mind-blowing. You're in this beautiful white dress, and the song... Did you remind me who wrote the song? It was a famous movie composer, right?
Yeah, so I had a little problem finding the perfect song for my act, because, you know, you show your act for 5 to 8 minutes on stage, and it has to be perfect. So the music has to be perfect, the composition of your act has to be, you know, that's the only time you get on stage. And finding the music to me was so difficult. And almost a week and a half before I left for Paris, I had a song I worked with, but a week and a half before I went to Paris, Cirque du Soleil asked if I wanted to represent them in the festival. And I said, okay, even not knowing that, oh, now I have even more responsibility to represent Cirque du Soleil in the festival. But then I said, okay, I can do that, but can I use the song or the music that I'm going to use in the show, Iris, that was opening up that year? He said, yeah, you can take the song. So I worked with the song that Danny Elfman wrote.
Mm. He wrote the Harry Potter theme, I think, as well, right? Danny Elfman.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Danny Elfman, I mean, he's
a major incredible composer.
Yeah, I felt so honored to be at the festival in Paris and perform to Danny Elfman. And the version I used was also him playing it. And
oh, cool.
It was like, I felt it was amazing because that music was just, it was the perfect match with me. I felt that was me in a song. And yeah, to find that kind of song that you just feel, this is me. It's very hard to find that, I think.
But this is a theme we've asked a few people about and I think is a really interesting topic. But can you sort of go through when you wrote your act for the first time or when you write an act for a new company like La Soirée or a new Cirque du Soleil show, sort of the different kinds of things you have to take into account, like the trick order, the song, the costume, sort of what your thought process is like?
Yeah, for me, I always had a vision in my head that, okay, I want to be myself, like a part of me. I don't want to go into a character. I was me, and I wanted to be as honest and naked on stage, just being myself. And I, especially for my swinging trapeze act, and the act I did in the festival, and I just had a vision, me, the trapeze, white dress, that's it. Like, it was quite simple for me. I didn't want to complicate it. If people liked it because, I think people liked it because they saw me and they saw my pleasure of swinging up in the air, and hopefully that's what touched people.
Well, I gotta say, when I saw that number, I think the thing that stuck out to me is just how effortless you make it look, and how natural you looked on the you do look on the swinging trapeze,
and happy. You just look, it's funny hearing you talk about kind of the background of your act and coming to your act. I totally see it. I mean, it's everything that I connected with when Josh showed me your video, and I was like, oh man, she just looks so beautiful and happy and like carefree doing these crazy tricks, but like, and so high in the air. But yeah, it just like was so nice to watch.
My biggest goal, I wanted to have strong technique because it is important, but I wanted to be so comfortable doing it that it would look effortless. And that it wouldn't look, you know, I want to be so stable and relaxed doing my act. That was the main point. Like, maybe not as crazy as trick as I could do in training or that other girls are doing, but just for me to have a pleasure doing it too. And that was the most important. And I think maybe that showed in my act that I enjoyed it so much.
It definitely did. But I have a question about your love life and how you met your husband.
Yes, that's also, so yeah, we actually met on Drallion, on my first tour there. He's a rigger, and he was
How romantic.
I know. But we met up there in the air. Oh. Because he always had to clip me in every night before my act and before I went on the stage. And I guess there was this little connection happening up there in the air. Oh. So, and he worked with Cirque du Soleil for many years. And, yeah, we worked together on Drowleon and then on Iris.
And is that how you guys just stayed in L.A. then?
Yeah, we both fell in love with L.A. And Josh got a promotion here with the other rigging company. And, you know, once you kind of settle and you start to have your life and your apartment, then it's tempting to go back on tour for sure, but it's also, you really appreciate the small things in life after being on tour and just to have like your place.
Yeah, the same place to come home to.
I know, and to cook your own food and, you know, clean and go to IKEA, like do stuff that is so simple, but it's important, I think, in life too.
Do you have any advice that you would give, you know, a 14, 15-year-old who's just discovered circus and wants to be, you know, the next great swinging trapeze artist?
I say, like, nothing comes for free and nothing comes without working hard. But, like, and you can never give up. Like, I don't think it's good to stop when you think you're good enough. You know, you always have to work a little harder and have the passion for it. And I think that is what is going to give you results in the end of the day, if you love what you do. And and honestly, to not give up and not to be discouraged when it doesn't work out for you, or when someone else gets the contract that you wanted to have, or when you work an hour on one trick and you will never get it, but maybe after 1,000 times of trying, you will get it. So, like, to not give up and to just keep dreaming. And in my case, particularly, I always set up goals in my mind. Like, my goals was to work coming to the circus school in Montreal. My goal was to work with Victor Fomin, and my other goal was to work with Cirque du Soleil, to do Alegria, and to do the festival, to always set up these goals and to work towards your goals. And my new goal is to get back into my old shape to be able to work again. So, yeah, I think that is a good push to always set up a goal in your head.
Listen, if anybody can do it, you can. Exactly. I fully believe you'll end up better than where you left off.
Yeah, and it's hard because sometimes, especially in Montreal, everyone there is so talented, and you know, it can be a little discouraging when you come there, especially me, since I didn't have the gymnastic background and everyone do their backflips, and I can't do that, but then I need to work on something else. But I think that's what makes a good circus artist. You have to find your own way to be artistic on stage and find your own way. And yeah, I don't know, but I think you always have to work from where you come from. You know, you can just, I knew I had the trapeze, and that was what I worked so hard on, I think. I don't know.
That's a really great answer.
Yeah.
So as you probably know, we usually wrap it up with the same two questions that we ask everybody. So my first question is, I'm going to ask you to recommend a book, a movie, and a show. The show, you know, may have already happened, so people can look it up on the internet or something, or YouTube. But is there a book, a movie, and a show that you would recommend?
Well, book-wise, I hate to say this, but I don't read enough. And I think it's because I want to be a reader. I want to be that person who reads, but I can't concentrate. I feel almost guilty sitting down reading. You know what I mean?
What about a book that you want to read that you haven't read yet?
I don't know. I feel, the book part is hard. But I guess it's all these classics that will make you think a little extra outside the box.
What about a show? Is there any show that you would recommend?
A show? The Swedish circus company, Cirkus Cirkar, they have a lot of beautiful shows that have been produced and are still playing right now. And one show that is going on right now, I haven't seen it, but I saw a different version of it before I came here to LA, and it's called Limits. And it's about the refugee situation that's going on in Europe. And from what I heard and from the show that was the first show that was called Borders, it was absolutely amazing and extremely touching and on such a current situation and that's going on in our world, and to bring up a subject that is very strong. So I would recommend to see Cirkusikar Limits, and a show that always will stick in my head and that I will never forget, it's of course Traces. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves Traces, and it's a beautiful show, and I think that's it's one of the first shows I saw when I came to Montreal, and it's incredible, and it's so smart and beautiful and funny and touching, and I love that show so much. So those are the shows I probably would recommend. I wish there was more shows in Los Angeles. There is not a lot of circus shows here.
No, there's not in New York either. But there's more in New York, I would say, than LA, maybe.
It's growing. Slowly but surely, it's growing.
Yeah.
And then how about a movie or a TV show that you like?
Well, I've seen pretty much all of the TV shows that I have. House of Cards, Homeland, Breaking Bad, all of them, and I love it.
Do you happen to watch Walking Dead?
I did not see that one.
Oh my God, that's my favorite. I mean, I love TV too, and The Walking Dead, I'm so obsessed with it. And there's seven seasons that you can watch on Netflix, so you don't even have to wait.
But it seems a little scary. I like the real movie, TV shows Narcos.
That was good.
Oh my God, Narcos was so good. I cannot wait for season two.
I know, I love it. And, and I hate crime and murder and guns and all this, but somehow in these TV shows, I'm so hooked.
So our last question for you, Uwe, mm-hmm. is, had you grown up not near the circus, or, maybe it hadn't been an interest of yours, what do you think you would have done in another life?
I think I would have been an actress. I grew up doing auditions to movies and theaters. I was on some in theater plays in Stockholm as a child, and I knew I was always going to be on stage, and that I was going to become a circus artist. That I didn't know, but I definitely knew I was going to be an actress of some sort. I guess a circus artist is kind of that too, but more a real theater actress.
Well, thank you so much, Uwe, for coming on the podcast. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much. It's very fun.
That was our interview with Uwe. If you liked it, make sure to rate us on iTunes, tweet us, Instagram us, share it on Facebook, and yik yak us, whatever that is.
Have a great week.